Johnson's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
Not a soul in sight. The city's looking like a ghost town on a moonless summer night. Raindrops on the windshield, there's a storm moving in. He's heading back from somewhere that he never should have been. And the thunder rolls. And the thunder rolls. Every light is burning in a house across town. She's pacing by the telephone in her faded flannel gown, asking for a miracle, hoping she's not right, praying it's the weather that's kept him out all night. And the thunder rolls. Thunder rolls, the thunder rolls, and the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night. As the storm blows all out of control, deep in her heart, the thunder rolls. Waiting by the window when he pulls into the drive. She rushes out to hold him, thankful he's alive. But on the wind and rain, a strange new perfume blows, and the lightning flashes in her eyes, and he knows that she knows. And the thunder rolls. And the thunder rolls. The thunder rolls, and the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night. As the storm blows on out of control, deep in her heart, the thunder.
See me in the middle of got a big old plane that's gonna take me far away. I know I act tough, but there's a churning in my gut, 'cause I just can't call you up when things get rough. Before I left, he hugged my neck and said, just 'cause you're leaving, it don't mean it. I won't be right by your side. When you need me, you can't see me. You stay a little while. I never thought I'd see the day I had to say goodbye. Daddy, please don't go. I can't do this on my own. There's no way that I can walk this road alone. Daddy grabbed my hand and said, just 'cause I'm leaving, it don't mean it. I won't be right by your side. When you need me and you can't see me, in the middle of the night, just close your eyes and say a prayer. It's okay, boy, I ain't scared. I won't be here, but I'll always be right there. Even though I'm leaving, I ain't going nowhere.
I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me, when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper. I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. I became a friend a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went three times that year, I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book, and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you would die. Like tomorrow was a gift and you got eternity. Think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went. Rocky Mountain climbing, I went. 2.7 seconds on a full length Fu Manchu. Man, I love deeper and I spoke sweeter and I watched an eagle as it was flying. And he said, someday
baby.
heart of Wisconsin. Country Legends 24/7. 105.5 FM.
Sister too, they got lots of music and lots of room. When they play you a waltz from the 1910, you're gonna feel a little bit young again. Well, you learn to dance with your rock and roll, you learn to sway at the do say do, but you learn to love at the fe do do when you hear a little show de love.
Saturday night and the moon is out, I wanna head on over to the twist and shout. Find a two-step partner and a Cajun beat. When it lifts me up, I'm gonna find my feet.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
What's the very best day to launch a new project or take on a big task? Timing is everything. Research reveals key dates when your odds of doing well are higher. We'll talk to an expert.
If you pick the right date to start something, particularly behavior change, you actually have a fighting chance to make it a little bit more successful.
Then, acceptance of marijuana use among Americans has skyrocketed in recent years. A recent study explains the changing attitudes toward the drug.
We were trying to unravel what both contributed to the change and also what maybe didn't matter that much. We found three things that were responsible.
Those two stories and more are straight ahead on this week's show. InfoTrack begins right after this.
Getting behind the wheel after drinking could change your world. Bobby here had a great time at the party and thought he was good to drive home. Now, Bobby's facing jail time, an upset wife, disappointed parents, and up to a $10,000 fine. It only takes one bad decision to change your world forever. Getting behind the wheel after you've been drinking is one of them. Drive sober or get pulled over. Learn more at NHTSA.gov. That's NHTSA.gov. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Our Labor Day savings start now at Lowe's. Right now, buy one, get one free on Valspar Reserve or HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams Infinity or Showcase Interior Paint via Lowe's gift card rebate. Whether you're painting one accent wall or want to freshen up a whole room, we've got you covered. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details. Valid through 9/4.
Hi, I'm Kamiko, the founder of Miko's Hot Chicken. When we started our family restaurant, we were also raising a family. But let me tell you, it wasn't easy. Our Chase Inc. card was there to reward us on all of our business needs. Now we have a thriving location, and we're hungry for more.
With the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited card, you can earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase, so your business can go from here to possible. Chase for business. Make more with yours. Real business owners compensated for their participation. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, and member FDIC, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
You've heard the saying, timing is everything. Recent research seems to back that up, suggesting that certain days are better for starting something new. With more, here's InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. We're talking with Daniel H. Pink. He's the author of numerous books about work, business, and behavioral science, and his latest is called When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. So, Daniel, everybody knows that timing is important in many decisions of life, both large and small, but most people don't know that there's a science of timing. You write that there are 86 days in the year that are especially effective for making a fresh start. Tell us about that.
Sure. One of the things that we know is that all dates in the year are not created equal. Certain dates are what researchers call temporal landmarks. So they stand out in time the way that physical landmarks stand out in space. And so they get us to slow down, assess a little bit, but they also have this peculiar form of mental accounting that they trigger. They essentially get us to open up a fresh ledger on ourselves, relegate our bad selves to the past, and have a fresh ledger for our new, remade, better behaving self. So what does this mean? This means that people are more likely to start a diet and therefore continue it, or more likely to start behavior change and more likely to continue it on, say, a Monday rather than a Thursday, on the first of the month rather than the 13th of the month, on the day after their birthday rather than 6 days before their birthday. And so if you pick the right date to start something, particularly behavior change, you actually have a fighting chance to make it a little bit more successful.
Interesting. You write that afternoons are bad for certain things such as standardized tests and even surgery. Why?
Oh, man. Yeah. The big idea here is that our own brain power, other people's brain power, doesn't stay the same throughout the day. It changes. It changes in significant ways. It changes in predictable ways. And so we do not perform the same throughout the day. And one of the best examples of this, as you say, is education. So there's an important study out of Denmark looking at 2 million Danish standardized test scores. And what they found is that they randomly assigned students to take the test at different times of day. Students who took the test in the afternoon versus students who took the test in the morning scored as if they had missed 2 weeks of school. Now, that's pretty amazing. If the kid had taken a test in the morning, she would have scored higher. But taking a test in the afternoon was equivalent to missing 2 weeks of school. We see this in some other research on elementary school students, where taking math in the morning versus taking it later in the day leads to more math learning, higher grades, better test scores. One of the most intriguing and in some ways alarming examples of this, as you say, is in healthcare. I basically have stopped going to important doctor's appointments and avoiding going into a hospital if I possibly can in the afternoon because the evidence is overwhelming. Let me give you some examples. Anesthesia errors are 4 times more likely at 3 p.m. than at 9 a.m. Doctors performing colonoscopies find half as many polyps in afternoon exams as they do in morning exams for the same population. Hand washing in hospitals deteriorates significantly in the afternoons. Doctors much more likely to prescribe unnecessary antibiotics in the afternoons versus the morning. And so, again, our performance and other people's performance does not remain constant across the day. It changes. And if we know how it changes, we can avoid disasters like the ones I'm describing. But in our personal and professional lives, we can do a better job of doing the right work at the right time.
Yeah, I was going to ask about work schedules. Is that kind of the same thing as we're discussing? Afternoons are bad, mornings are good, that sort of thing?
It depends. You know, it's not as simple as that, unfortunately, because a lot of it depends on what's called our chronotype. So some people are morning people, some people are evening people. That's not just folklore. There's a whole field of science behind that. And so what we know is about 15% of us are very strong morning people, about 20% of us are very strong evening people, and about two-thirds of us are in the middle. And what we know in general is this, that people move through the day in three stages, a peak, a trough, and a recovery. Most of us move through the day in that order. About 80% of us move through the day in that order. A peak early in the day, a trough in the middle of the day that we were just talking about, and a recovery later in the day. And our brain power changes in each of these periods. During the peak, that's when our brain, our capacities, that's when we are most vigilant. And vigilance means we're able to bat away distraction. So that makes it a good time to do work that requires heads down, focus, and attention. Analyzing data, writing a report, analytic work. During the recovery, which for most of us is late in the afternoon and early in the evening, we're actually less vigilant, but we're in a pretty good mood. And so that makes it a good time for things that require mental looseness, things like iterating new ideas or brainstorming. And so what we should be doing is we should be doing our analytic work during the peak. We should be doing our insight creative work during that recovery period. And during this trough period, we should be doing our administrative work, things like answering routine emails. Now, again, for most of us, the peak is early in the day, the trough is in the middle of the day, the recovery is later in the day. Owls, the 20% of us who are strong evening chronotypes, it's very different. Owls reach their peak much, much later in the day, into the evening, often well into the evening. So the owls out there should be doing their heads down analytic work late in the day. Unfortunately, a lot of work schedules, as you suggest, don't accommodate owls very well at all.
Many people live and die by their to-do list, but you recommend taking a break list?
Well, what we know, in the science, is that breaks matter more than we realize, that breaks are part of our performance. And you see this in a whole range of different fields. What it distills to is this, that we should be taking more breaks and we should be taking certain kinds of breaks, particularly during that afternoon trough. And the kinds of breaks we should be taking are breaks with other people. So social breaks are better than solo breaks. We know that breaks where we're moving are better than breaks where we're stationary. We know that breaks outside are generally better than breaks inside. And we know that breaks where we're fully detached are better than breaks where we're only semi-detached, where we might have our phone with us or talking about work. And unfortunately, in the day-to-day maw of work, we often will neglect a break. We think it doesn't matter. We think it's better to power through. And the best remedy for that is literally to schedule a break. Schedule one or two breaks in the afternoon. Put it on your schedule. Treat it with the same reverence with which you would treat a meeting. And I've started doing this, and it's really paid off. So I might put down on a given day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, walk break. And I will just take literally a 10-minute walk outside, come back. It improves performance. What we have to think of is we've sort of gotten seduced into this idea that the top performers power through. The top performers never take a break. That amateurs take breaks, but professionals don't. When the truth of the matter is, it's the exact opposite. Amateurs are the ones who don't take breaks. Professionals take breaks.
Daniel, is there one thing that jumped out at you as you researched your book that maybe was the most surprising thing to you about timing?
I was surprised by how much our brain power changes over the course of the day. And it prompted me to redo my own schedule and to take advantage of that peak in the morning and that recovery period later in the day. I was also surprised how important endings are in how we remember things and on our motivation. So this book, more than any other book that I've written, had a big effect literally on my day-to-day life and how I do things.
Daniel H. Pink, the author of When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. Daniel, do you have a website?
I do. It's Dan Pink, DanPink.com.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, acceptance of marijuana use has soared. But why? That story coming up.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.
Freedom on the open road. Sharp reflexes and smart decision-making is all that separates your body from the road. Even just one drink can affect your ability to ride. Alcohol limits your reaction time and decreases inhibitions, which is the perfect recipe for a DUI. So why would you ever risk riding while impaired? Ride sober or get pulled over. If you hit the bottle, don't roll the throttle. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Hey, checking in.
This is not just your flu shot appointment at Walgreens.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is getting your entire family vaccinated in one trip.
Hey, Mom.
And a snack on the way out. Get flu shots for everyone in your family, together. Schedule appointments online today. This is wellness made easy. Walgreens.
Vaccine subject to availability and for ages 3+. State and health-related restrictions may apply.
Our Labor Day savings start now at Lowe's. Right now, buy one, get one free on Valspar Reserve or HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams Infinity or Showcase Interior Paint via Lowe's gift card rebate. Whether you're painting one accent wall or want to freshen up a whole room, we've got you covered. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details. Valid through 9/4.
I'm Tiffany, founder of Harlem Pilates. When I couldn't find Pilates in my neighborhood, I started a studio from my studio apartment. Chase Inc. helped me grow from one Pilates studio to three. Because when you start small, you're going to need some big help.
With the Chase Inc. Business Cash Card, you can earn up to 5% cash back on business essentials, so your business can go from here to possible. Chase for Business. Make more of what's yours. Real business owner compensated for their participation. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
You're listening to InfoTrack. To learn more about our guests or listen to past shows, visit InfoTrack online at InfoTrackRadio.com. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Not so long ago, many Americans had a negative view of marijuana. But in recent times, those views have changed dramatically. What caused so many people to suddenly support the legalization of marijuana? Joining us to discuss this is Amy Adamczyk, professor of sociology and criminal justice at City University of New York. Professor, you did a study of this, and first of all, how dramatic was the change in the views on marijuana?
It changed a lot. So in 1988, only about 24% of Americans supported legalization, but by 2018, 66% of U.S. residents offered their approval. So this was a really big change. It's one of the biggest changes that we've experienced, and it's somewhat similar to the change in attitudes towards different racial groups that's occurred since the 1970s.
Your study ruled out some obvious possibilities. Can we talk about those first?
We were trying to unravel what both contributed to the change and also what maybe didn't matter that much. First off, we looked to see if there were changes between various groups, different age groups, political parties, different religions, people at different levels of education, and then, of course, across different racial and ethnic groups. And we found that while there are differences within these groups, the change was about the same for all of them. So both younger people and older people, Democrats who tend to be more liberal than Republicans on this issue, both groups changed at about the same rate, as did different religions and people at different educational levels and so forth. So we were able to put that aside and say, well, it's probably not about these things. We also looked at use, and that's something I think a lot of people are really interested in, especially with changes in legalization in various states. We wanted to know, are people simply using more? And because they're using more, they have more supportive attitudes about these behaviors. And what we found is that really wasn't the case. People are using more. They're using a little bit more marijuana than they used to. But it's not huge. It's really quite small, as much as we can see at this point. And it wouldn't have been responsible for these drastic changes in public opinion supporting marijuana legalization.
So what is the answer? What did you find was a real primary factor or factors in causing this change of attitude?
Well, we found that there were really three things that were responsible. And two of these three things had a pretty minimal effect, although they did have an effect. Number one, disaffiliation with religion. Recently, we'll say maybe over the last 10 years, more and more people are disaffiliating with religion. But many times, these are people who were not particularly devout before. So their choice to not affiliate now with a religion isn't as dramatic as it may seem. Nevertheless, people who say they're not religious tend to be more liberal. And so if you have an increase in people saying that they're not religious, then that is a small part of the change, but it's pretty minimal. Second, we looked at changes in the harshness of the criminal justice system. The United States started to put a lot of people away for long periods of time for relatively minor offenses. And this would include like the three strikes and you're out laws. There were some other changes going on. At the time, we had relatively high crime rates, if you think about the 1970s and 80s. And so when they decided to enact these laws in the 1990s, our crime rates have gone way down. And what we found is that changing views about the harshness of the criminal justice system did have some impact on how people viewed legalization. But again, it was relatively small. It's there, but it's not extreme. And it's a little tough to unravel what came first. Was it changing views about the harshness of the criminal justice system that affected attitudes about legalization? Or was it changing views about legalization that affected views about the harshness of the criminal justice system?
We're talking with Professor Amy Adamczyk of City University of New York, talking about her study of the changing in Americans' views of marijuana use. So what was the biggest factor you discovered in your study that caused this attitudinal change?
We looked hard to try to figure out what might be going on, and we eventually turned to the media. And we focused in on the New York Times, not because everyone in America reads the New York Times, but simply because it's a very large national newspaper and has a large readership. And we could take it as a case study to better understand changing portrayals of marijuana in the media. And what we found when we looked at that is that the media had started to change how marijuana was portrayed. So in the 1980s, marijuana was often discussed as part of other drugs like cocaine and heroin. It was talked about in terms of people getting arrested for selling and all these criminal activities, criminal rings and so forth. And there wasn't that many discussions about the health aspects or the health-related elements that marijuana can address. And so the public had this pretty negative view of marijuana, often because it was coupled with things like heroin and other really problematic drugs. And then what we saw is that over time, the way the media portrayed marijuana began to change. One, it didn't couple marijuana with these other drugs anymore. It would talk about marijuana on its own. And two, when it discussed marijuana, increasingly it didn't do it with this crime frame, it used a health frame. So instead of talking about drug busts where people were put away to prison because they had a bunch of marijuana on them, it increasingly was discussed in terms of being able to relieve chronic pain and that maybe people should think about marijuana from this alternative perspective, that it might not be nearly as harmful as people thought. And more importantly, for people who were getting older and were struggling with pain-related issues, this might be something that they could use that would be relatively unharmful and that could really help them. And so this is what happened over time. The news media began to change the portrayal. And as that portrayal changed, attitudes changed.
Given this dramatic swing in opinion, do you think we might be heading toward national legalization of marijuana?
I do. I do a lot of research on attitudes and changes in public opinion. And not always, but often, attitude change is going to drive policy. And we see that a little bit here now, as many states are beginning to legalize it, or at least make it legal for people who have chronic pain. But as we move forward, I think this is where we're headed. The public seems to want it. I think it's going to be tough for legislatures to ignore that.
One factor that comes to mind a little bit with this change with the media is just a generational change with the journalists, that you've got a lot of younger people moving up into editorial positions, and their attitudes are reflected in what they write about.
You're absolutely right. And I just want to add to that. We did look at whether or not older people were less likely to have changed and younger people were more likely. And you're absolutely right. There's a difference between older Americans and younger Americans and how they see this issue. But the interesting thing is, we did find that everyone sort of changed a little bit together. As much as it might seem like America is divisive, and certainly we are divisive on some issues, this seems to be an issue that we're all changing a little bit together.
Amy Adamczyk, professor of sociology and criminal justice at City University of New York. Professor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. A production of Syndication Networks.
Joey, let's get some drive-thru.
Yeah, bro.
Ooh.
I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the car, sir.
Joey, let's get some drive-thru, man.
Let's order delivery instead.
If you feel different, you drive different, and driving high is a DUI. If you think no one can tell you're high, think again. Your friends, family, and especially law enforcement can see right through it. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high and get a DUI. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Our Labor Day savings start now at Lowe's. Right now, buy one, get one free on Valspar Reserve or HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams Infinity or Showcase Interior Paint via Lowe's gift card rebate. Whether you're painting one accent wall or want to freshen up a whole room, we've got you covered. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details. Valid through 9/4.
Lack of sleep has been linked to heart disease. But what are the biological reasons for the connection? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey is back and has the story. Roy?
Thanks again, Chris. Dr. Michael Turi is the director of the National Center on Sleep Disorders Research at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, part of the National Institutes of Health. So, Dr. Turi, this study focused on sleep's effects on heart disease. Can you just explain to us how big of a factor sleep really is?
Sleep is what regulates all the many chemical processes that organize how well our body parts work together. It's kind of like the timing belt, or the timing of a mechanical or gasoline engine. If the parts don't work together, then it runs less efficiently. And so sleep, getting on a regular schedule, sleeping 7 hours a night for most adults, and the quality of our sleep are all very important to make this work.
And how many of us don't get that recommended 7 or 8 hours of sleep each night?
The Centers for Disease Control have conducted studies asking people all across the country, and it turns out that 20 to 30% of adults in every state of the country appear to report not getting enough sleep.
As I understand it, this NIH study was examining how a good night's sleep protects against heart disease. Tell us a little bit about this study and what was found.
This study was done by a group of researchers that are supported by the National Institutes of Health at Harvard University. And what the study discovered is some new evidence of how poor sleep quality, that is disrupted sleep, not sleeping consistently through the night, how that can influence how well our bone marrow is working to produce new blood cells. poor sleep increases the production of a blood cell called a monocyte that's important for immune systems. Poor sleep causes the production of a type of blood cell that at high levels can actually damage our blood vessels. And it's important because in people, this damage is called atherosclerosis. The damage accumulates over a lifetime. It raises our blood pressure, and that high blood pressure makes the heart work harder.
Maybe you could just expand on the length of sleep versus the quality of sleep.
We need to sleep on a regular schedule each night, ideally sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night, and to have that good quality of sleep. So for many people, sleep disturbances can come from not sleeping in a comfortable room, or there may be light in the bedroom. There could be disturbances from many different causes, and some of these things we can't manage. But the discovery that these different parts, this is just yet another connection among many connections that have been reported, is helping us understand why this is important for us to consider taking steps to protect our sleep.
And sleep apnea is also a common condition that intersects with heart disease.
That's true. We previously found in studies that when we have difficulty breathing during sleep, that difficulty breathing alerts our mind. We wake up very quietly, wake up very slightly, but that sleep disturbance is a form of stress, and that stress, increasing stress hormones, elevating our levels of adrenaline, make the heart work harder. It affects our metabolism and how well that works, and there's a cascade of poor timing of the chemistry of our cells, as well as the stress from the sleep disturbance, that all are associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease, heart attack, and stroke.
Obviously, striving to get a better night's sleep is the first course of action, but do you foresee some eventual treatments down the road to deal with this as a result of this NIH research?
By defining a better understanding the nuts and bolts that connect these parts, by understanding which specific chemicals are contributing to the disease problem, we're developing tools physicians can then use to treat and manage these disease conditions more effectively.
Dr. Michael Twery, director of the National Center on Sleep Disorders Research at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Do you have any place online where you recommend people learn more?
If you Google NIH and sleep research, you will get many listings to our various pages. The NIH produces information for patients and for researchers to consider about sleep. There's also information on the CDC sleep websites.
Well, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That's it for another edition of InfoTrack. If you'd like to learn more about our guests or topics, or listen to past shows, our web address is infotrackradio.com. InfoTrack Internet services are provided by Pear.com. Thanks to this week's contributor, Roy Mackey. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Everything I passed put you back in it. You were done, moving on, but you can't be too far gone. 'Cause what happens in a small town stays in a small town. Every main road we've ever gone down, Friday night bleachers, Sunday pews, plenty of county line mile without a memory of you. Every whisper, every room I won't get. Every time the bartender fills it up, girls, what happens in a small town?
from the redneck girls like me. Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Victoria's Secret. Well, their stuff's real nice. Oh, but I can buy the same damn thing on a Walmart shelf half price and still look sexy, just as sexy as those models on TV. No, I don't need no designer tag to make my man want me. You might think I'm trashy, a little too hardcore.
Suburban in a glass. Yeah,
The heart of Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
WIRI 105.5 FM, Wisconsin Rapids.
Saw the end in sight. Fools are kind of blind. Thought everything was going all right, but I was running out of time. 'Cause you had one foot out the door. I swear I didn't see.